The U.S. announces another major military aid package for Ukraine.
Air defense interceptors, munitions for U.S.-provided HIMARS, artillery and mortar rounds, and Javelin anti-tank missiles, as well as other anti-tank weapons.
Plus, Russian forces are carrying out their fiercest assault on a key Ukrainian supply route.
Ukraine is significantly outgunned by Russia's bigger army on the roughly 600-mile front line.
And later in the program, a bittersweet opening for Ukrainian athletes competing in the Paris Olympics.
We know what you are going through. We want to support you to the best.
Today is Monday, July 29th. From the Voice of America, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Lori London. The U.S. has announced a new aid package to support Ukraine's efforts to defend itself against increasingly brutal Russian attacks. VOA's Steve Miller has the latest.
The new security assistance package is valued at up to $200 million. White House National Security spokesperson John Kirby made the announcement, adding that it includes air defense interceptors, munitions for U.S.-provided HIMARS, artillery and mortar rounds, and Javelin anti-tank missiles, as well as other anti-tank weapons. Kirby said the Department of Defense is announcing significant Security Assistance Initiative funds to support Ukraine's defenses over the long term. U.S. President Joe Biden has authorized 9 security assistance packages since late April. The United States has provided Ukraine with more than $50 billion worth of military aid since 2022, but there are concerns about the future of U.S. support for Kyiv should Donald Trump win the November 5th presidential election. Steve Miller, VOA News.
As part of his first international tour, new British Defense Secretary John Healey reaffirmed Britain's support for Poland, Ukraine, and NATO's eastern flank.
I committed the UK to speeding up the delivery of the military aid already pledged, to stepping up the package of ammunition, guns, essential kit they need, to spending £3 billion this year to support Ukraine, and £3 billion each year for as long as it takes.
Healey's comments to reporters followed a meeting with his Polish counterpart in Warsaw.
Our two countries have a long history of friendship, and Poland, since Putin launched his brutal and illegal full-scale invasion of Ukraine, Poland has demonstrated magnificent leadership.
His visit was part of a two-day trip that included stops in France, Germany, and Estonia, highlighting the new Labour government's commitment to deepening defense ties with European Union allies. Meanwhile, Hungary's nationalist prime minister on Saturday said the European Union was sliding toward oblivion in a rambling anti-Western speech in which he warned of a new Asia-oriented world order. More from Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
In remarks on Saturday in Bialystok, a majority ethnic Hungarian town in central Romania, he also threw his support behind Donald Trump's presidential bid. Orbán is facing growing criticism from his European partners after embarking on rogue peace mission trips to Moscow and Beijing early this month, aimed at brokering an end to Russia's war in Ukraine. Throughout the war, Orbán has broken with other EU leaders by refusing to provide Kyiv with weapons to defend against Russian forces. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Russian forces are carrying out their fiercest assaults on a key Ukrainian supply route near the strategic eastern city of Pokrovsk. A Ukrainian military official said Monday its army had fought off 52 Russian assaults there in the last 24 hours. Anna Chernikova in Kyiv joins us now for an update.
So for the past months, Ukrainian forces are trying to keep the defense line in the direction of the city of Pokrovsk in that area in the Donetsk region, because this is definitely one of the strategic points in terms of the logistics, in terms of the control of the region, of this of the territory in the region in general. So we do see that Russian forces are concentrating very big amount of manpower, of equipment, and Pokrovsk direction remains the spotlight for this all this time. And Ukrainian authorities are reporting on the situation in there almost every day. This is one of the main topics President Zelensky is discussing with the Ukraine's military personnel, military leaders. And definitely this is very important for Ukraine to keep the defense line as much unchanged as possible. However, it is quite difficult for Ukrainian forces because Russian forces have much more equipment and much more personnel in that area. And President Zelensky is visiting the city of Kharkiv on Monday. And this is also one of the reasons why he is currently present in the eastern part of the country, because even Pokrovsk is in the Donetsk region, but it is very close to the Kharkiv region. And it is considered as the same direction as eastern direction, eastern front line. President Zelensky is having military meetings with Ukrainian armed forces personnel close to the front line. And the main topic of discussion is definitely the ongoing assault by the Russian forces, the defense plans of Ukraine, and also energy situation in the region.
Russian assaults have been continuing to target Ukraine's energy sector. Is it still a pretty serious situation as far as the power grid?
Energy situation remains extremely tough across the country. Currently, over the weekend and the upcoming week, it is expected the situation will be slightly better, but still slightly better. Here, we're talking about electricity outages every 3 hours, not every 4 or 5 hours. So basically, Ukrainians remain without, pretty much without electricity for half a day at least. But it is expected the situation will be getting better because repair works are ongoing and some of the stations of the blocks of some of the nuclear power plants were back to the operation. But situation is tough, especially it is getting much tougher as we are moving closer to the front line, and Kharkiv region particularly is really pretty bad.
And I understand there were drone attacks in Russia. I would imagine that would be coming from Ukraine?
So over the weekend we're hearing about a couple of drone attacks. In particular, there was a report about at least 39 drones attacking the power station on the territory of Russia. It was reported by the Russian authorities. Even Russian authorities say that all drones were destroyed. However, there are reports and footage from that area that actually certain power blocks were damaged and the fire could be seen in there. Also, another drone attack was targeting the oil depot on the territory of Russia as well. And this attack was actually confirmed also by the Ukrainian authorities. It was said by the Ukrainian military that Ukrainian special forces were actually in charge of the operation. And actually, also Russian authorities report the damage of the oil depot, and there are footage also of the area being on fire. How severe the damage is at this point, we cannot have this information independently verified, but according to, again, Ukrainian and Russian authorities, it seems that a Ukrainian attack was partially successful.
And Ukraine is also marking a somber anniversary about one of the very sad points of this sad war.
Yeah, actually, 2 years ago, on the 29th of July 2022, Ukrainian prisoners of war that were defending Mariupol, Azovstal, and those who were actually waiting for the exchange in one of the prisons in the Donetsk region, which is under the control of Russian forces in Olenivka, they were killed. At least 50 of Ukrainian prisoners of war were killed in a missile attack on this prison. Russian authorities are blaming Ukraine. Ukrainian authorities are blaming Russia. According to numerous international investigators and such think tanks as, for instance, Institute for the Study of War and also a number of U.S. officials, it looks like that Russia has something to do with that and is responsible for that. However, at this point, investigation is still ongoing, and Russian forces and Russian officials do not take responsibility.
Anna Chernikova reporting to us from Kyiv. Thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Laurie.
Meanwhile, Ukrainian troops say Russian forces have driven them out of two frontline villages. That story from correspondent Karen Shamus.
The two villages lie about 20 miles northwest of Avdiivka, a Donetsk city that the Russian army seized in February after a long battle. A Ukrainian army sergeant has said the Russians pressed non-stop, sending in a large number of troops, which had not previously been used. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky described the situation in the Donetsk region as extremely challenging. He added that anyone who manages to stop the Russian offensive is performing one of the most important missions in the war. Ukraine is significantly outgunned by Russia's bigger army on the roughly 600-mile front line. I'm Karen Chamas.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says his country may deploy new strike weapons in response to a U.S. plan to place missiles in Germany. Both the United States and Russia recently signaled a readiness to deploy intermediate-range weapons that were banned for decades under a Cold War-era treaty. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
Sunday in St. Petersburg, Russian state television broadcast footage of the country's fleets at the annual Navy Day celebration. In attendance were officers from 31 other countries, including China, India, Iran, and South Africa. Showcasing the Russian Navy, missiles fired from various ships of the Black Sea Fleet, and jets dropped bombs from above. Overshadowing Russia's pomp and circumstance of the day is a recent plan revealed by the United States to deploy long-range missiles to Germany by 2026. To outside observers, as well as Russian President Vladimir Putin, this may be history repeating itself.
The situation recalls the events of the Cold War era. If the U.S. implements such plans, we will consider ourselves free from the previously imposed one-sided moratorium on the deployment of medium and shorter-range strike systems. We will take mirror measures for their deployment.
In a recent joint statement from the White House, U.S. and German officials said exercising advanced capabilities would demonstrate a commitment to NATO and its contributions to European integrated deterrence. Despite the Kremlin's latest round of saber-rattling, the Russian Defense Ministry began releasing videos showcasing intercontinental ballistic missile tests days before its 2022 invasion of Ukraine. Putin at the time discussed plans to assemble his army's so-called deterrent force to potentially include a nuclear component. It is language that NATO calls dangerous and irresponsible. Since the onset of the Russian invasion, Western powers have by far been Ukraine's largest supporters in terms of money and material. NATO members recently pledged an additional $43 billion next year, with plans for sustained support to follow.
All of this support will make Ukraine stronger and more capable. In fact, everything we are doing, the command, the pledge, more military aid, more security agreements, and improved interoperability, put in place the foundations for Ukraine to prevail.
While St. Petersburg seemed pleased by its military display, experts worry the readiness of both Russia and the U.S. to deploy intermediate-range weapons could spark a new arms race. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Lori London. The appearance of two Russian and two Chinese long-range strategic bombers in the skies off of coastal Alaska may have been a first, but it did not catch the United States off guard. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters last week the appearance of the Russian and Chinese aircraft was not a surprise and that at no time did the bombers pose a threat to the United States. We hear more from VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Selden.
The United States downplaying the sudden appearance of Russian and Chinese nuclear-capable bombers off the coast of the northwestern state of Alaska.
This was not a surprise to us.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin telling reporters Thursday U.S. surveillance saw the planes coming.
We closely monitored these aircraft, tracked the aircraft, intercepted the aircraft.
A statement from the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, said the two Russian and two Chinese planes were spotted late Wednesday, and that U.S. and Canadian fighter jets were scrambled to intercept and escort them until they left the area. Chinese and Russian officials, for their part, are defending the flight, saying the bombers never violated U.S. or Canadian airspace. The joint patrol over the Bering Sea was meant to test and enhance cooperation between Beijing and Moscow, a Chinese Defense Ministry official told reporters, adding, it's the eighth time the two countries have conducted such flights. According to the Pentagon, the flight of the Russian and Chinese bombers is the first to approach the U.S., coming within about 350 kilometers of the Alaskan coastline. As for the timing of the flight, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin would only speculate.
You could probably guess that things like that have probably been planned well in advance.
Warning Russia and China, the U.S. will not be taken by surprise.
We're going to be at the ready. We are at the ready. We will always be at the ready. We're going to defend this nation.
A new Pentagon strategy released earlier this week warned of the threat from increased Russian-Chinese cooperation in the Arctic region. Jeff Selden, VOA News, Washington.
For months, European governments and the U.S. have accused Russia of carrying out sabotage attacks on military and civilian infrastructure across the continent. London police in April said they had charged two British men with aiding Russian intelligence following a suspected arson attack on a business with ties to Ukraine. As Henry Wilkins reports from London, the incidents have shaken Ukrainians who feel targeted in places where they've sought refuge.
An industrial park on the outskirts of London may seem like an unlikely scene for a Russian attack on Ukraine. But in March, say British police, that's what happened. They charged two British men with collaborating with Russian intelligence after a warehouse was allegedly set on fire, destroying it. The facility was owned by a company transporting aid to Ukraine. There has been no plea in the case and no Russian comment. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has warned of an uptick in sabotage attacks by Russia across Europe.
The Kremlin's also been intensifying its hybrid attacks against frontline states, NATO members, setting fire and sabotaging supply warehouses, disregarding sea borders and demarcations in the Baltics, mounting more and more cyber attacks, continuing to spread disinformation.
Juliana Yashova fled her home in Ukraine and came to Britain in 2023. Upon visiting the site of the burned warehouse, she said she was shocked to see something like this on British soil.
And when we see that the result of it being burned to the ground, this is really, really painful. And I think to prevent it, to somehow control much better Russian intelligence in Europe, because it has such deep roots here, it has such long hands.
Similar incidents have been reported in Spain, Germany, which this social media footage purports to show, as well as in France, while Latvia's president and officials from the Netherlands and Lithuania have warned more attacks may be possible. Mark Hanna of the Institute for Global Affairs says incidents like these are consistent with Russia's covert efforts to weaken support for Ukraine.
So if it thinks that these acts of arson and these acts of sabotage will somehow weaken the will of publics in these countries, that is, I think, one of the primary motivations for Russia for carrying out these acts.
German prosecutors have accused Russia of trying to weaken military support for Ukraine. As European governments look for answers, reports of the attacks are causing anguish among Ukrainian refugees who thought they had come to a safe space. At a Ukrainian social club in London, Ukrainian refugee Lyudmila Kazmiruk says the attacks are hitting in the most unexpected places. She says Ukrainian children in Britain are encountering Kremlin propaganda online. She feels traumatized.
I started to hate Russian language. When I hear Russian language, something inside me, I'm just afraid of that person.
Russia calls the accusations of sabotage yet another unfounded accusation on the part of the West. For Ukrainians who thought they were fleeing to safety in Britain and elsewhere in Europe, the trauma caused by the often unexplained incidents is very real. Henry Wilkins, VOA News, London.
Former car thief Bohdan Filinenko is among thousands of Ukrainian prisoners who signed up under a new law granting them amnesty in exchange for army service following Kyiv's struggle to recruit enough troops to fend off Moscow's full-scale invasion. Fiona Jones with Reuters has the story.
Serviceman and ex-convict Bohdan Filinenko had this response for fellow inmates who criticised his decision to join Ukraine's military.
Some boys told me, live a little more. I answered, what do you mean, live a little? I'm not going off to die. I'm going to serve and change my life.
Filinenko, imprisoned for stealing cars, is among thousands of Ukrainian prisoners who signed up under a new law granting them amnesty in exchange for army service. Kyiv has struggled to recruit enough troops to fend off Moscow's full-scale invasion, which is grinding into its 30th month and shows no signs of ending. Authorities have also given encouraging treatment to convicts like Filonenko, who is now training with the 57th Motorized Infantry Brigade. That's in a bid to boost their ranks with motivated men. And just like Filonenko, ex-convict Pavlo leapt at the opportunity to fight.
I had 1 year left of my sentence, and I could have stayed in prison instead of going to war. But this is the choice I made. Why should some strangers come to my country and destroy my land?
Under the new rules, prisoners will have their remaining sentences cleared if they agree to serve without leave until the end of the war. They would then be granted parole. The General Prosecutor's Office said over 3,000 ex-prisoners have joined various military units, and the Justice Minister said up to 20,000 could be eligible. Those convicted of certain offences, including sexual crimes and murder of two or more people, are barred from serving. Filonenko said he felt motivated to join after hearing of civilians being massacred following Russia's occupation of Kyiv suburbs early in the war. And he said his decision has made his mother proud.
That was Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones. Since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, U.S. humanitarian organization Project Hope has been providing aid to Ukrainian health clinics and residents of the country's frontline towns and villages. Yaroslava Molshan has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
For this preschool in the Khmelnytsky region, getting hot water has been a challenge. There is currently no centralized hot water supply in the area, so each educational institution was looking for a suitable alternative.
We did have hot water, but after the full-scale invasion and with blackouts and power outages, we decided to install additional boilers, but maintaining them was becoming very expensive.
Today, however, all educational institutions in the area have access to hot water. The Kamenets-Podolsky utility company received 4 natural gas-driven engines that generate electricity and hot water.
Thanks to the quality of the equipment, we were able to reach the maximum the equipment allows in a very short time.
The 4 units work together to provide enough energy to power critical infrastructure and supply hot water to heat every home in the region.
What we had to deal with before, our residents, Ukrainians, spending hours and hours without electricity, it was a huge challenge. So what we have now allows us to improve the situation in the community dramatically.
The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, supplied the units. Pasitka says the help was vital.
The cost of 4 such generators, over 4 million euro, of course the Kamenets-Podolsky city budget would have never been enough to purchase them. We plan to use the electricity to light our streets, to channel it to the critical infrastructure facilities, to heat our social institutions.
The city authorities say these generators will allow the city residents to have hot water this summer and not be worried about staying warm in the coming winter. For Tatiana Kukurika in the Khmelnytsky region, Ukraine, NRI's VOA News.
Ukraine's Olympic House opened Saturday at the Paris Olympics. This year, Ukraine will be represented by the smallest number of athletes in its history of participation in the Summer Games, with 140 competitors in 26 sports. France's sports minister, Amélie Oudéa-Castéra, offered support for those in attendance.
We know what you are going through. We want to support you to the best, until victory. We know how difficult your training conditions have been. We know how many infrastructure have been destroyed. We know how many athletes have been murdered by this war of aggression. Unacceptable. We know what each and every victory that you will get in this Olympic competition will mean for the resilience of your country.
An installation with damaged seats from a Kharkiv stadium hit by Russian shelling are placed against one wall of the venue, with the Ukrainian Olympic slogan, "The Will to Win," on another. Located in Parc de la Ville and surrounded by over a dozen other national hospitality houses, the facility will serve as the country's main cultural and media hub, hosting athletes and Olympic fans. And that'll do it for us today. Stay up to date with continuing coverage on Ukraine and news from around the world, 24 hours a day at voanews.com. On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Lori London.